Chef extraordinaire Simon Evans, thanks so much for joining me on 2SER to talk about Christmas food.
You're welcome. Thank you for using my full name.
All right, mate, let's start with the centerpiece of every traditional Christmas table around the world, the turkey. What are the best ways to cook a turkey? Because, I mean, they're notoriously dry birds.
Yeah, turkeys are a bit of a problem animal. They're not designed for cooking, really. Like, they're a weird shape. They've got three bits that cook at different times. They're quite dry. So there's a couple of little techniques you can use. First one being brine. Use brine. Brine your turkey. Put it in salt water. So that basically seasons it from within, but it helps to break down some of the meat a bit, makes it more tender, makes it more juicy. So you end up getting salt water into your bird. That helps massively with any lean dry meat like that. Brining helps hugely. So about a 5% brine, so 5% salt. It's a water solution, and you want to leave it in there for overnight, a minimum 24 hours. That's first tip, big tip, that will help with anything. Second tip is take off the wings and the legs. They don't cook well in the oven. When you're roasting them, you're just drying them out. The breast is going to be cooked before the legs are. You end up with this kind of weird, either dry breast and overcooked legs or undercooked legs and perfect breast. So take them off and braise them. So put them in a baking tray with some stock or just some water, salt and pepper, foil over the top. Put them in like half hour before the rest of the bird. You can roast the breast as normal.
Okay, so roasted breast, but then braised legs and wings.
Yeah, okay. Better way to cook them. Then you can pull them out. You can still pan. You can put them in a pan, then a crisp skin up if you want, or you can shred them up. Like I did some like turkey leg balls wrapped in cabbage once for Christmas, which seemed to go down well with my family.
Love turkey balls. All right, let's move on to the next centerpiece of the Christmas table, the glazed ham. Tell me about glazing ham. Are you much of a ham glazer yourself?
It's probably not part of my repertoire. I don't think it's done so much in South Wales, where I'm originally from. But obviously, it has a big place on the table here in Australia. So if you're going to do it yourself, try and get a good ham. This is very basic chef advice when it comes to anything. If you get good ingredients, you'll end up with good product you're eating. If you buy crappy stuff, it'll be crappy coming out. So try and get a good ham from a good reputable butcher. And then I think the best thing to do is, if you're going to do like a fruit glaze, you can just do a basic kind of honey or sugar glaze. If you can do a fruit glaze, use something that's in season and then serve that fruit with the ham. So whether it's like cherries, nectarines, plums, plenty of oranges are in right now. Something that's in season, it's going to go well. And you can serve a bit of that fruit with the ham. That's a nice little seasonal tip there. So that would be my tip with that. Also, there's a bit of debate whether you score the fat or not. I think scoring the fat's the best way. You get all those little burnt edges and little burnt crispy bits.
They're definitely the most sought after in my family, the little crispy edges of the fat. So yeah,
like I've seen some recipes where people don't score it, and I'm like, what do you fight over with your family then?
Exactly. No, we've always got to have something to argue with over Christmas. One of the other most common things on the Christmas table here in Australia is the humble prawn. Many people just buy them cooked, use Thousand Island dressing or mix a bit of mayonnaise and tomato sauce together to make some sort of sauce. How do we sort of pimp our prawns a bit?
So, I mean, I think it's fine to buy cooked ones. Saves a lot of time. But again, just try and buy them from a fishmonger and get in early, because they get absolutely pumped this time of year. So put your order in early and try and get some good cooked prawns that they've kind of cooked on site in the days running up. If you want to cook them yourself, the best way is to do a kind of not quite a boil, not quite a steam. So you get the biggest pan you got, get it really hot, and almost like you're cooking mussels. So add some like white wine, some water, a bit of stock, salt, some herbs. Bring out to the boil, put your prawns in, put a lid on, give them a good shake, mix them round, and then you kind of end up glazing them in all that kind of prawn juice, the wine, the stock. And then by the time the prawns are cooked, a lot of that liquid is reduced down to that kind of slightly thicker glaze. And you don't end up wasting any of that prawn flavor if you boiled them. And it's a bit easier than steaming, because who's got a steamer that's big enough?
Yeah, great. And what about the dipping sauce? Are we just mixing mayo and tomato sauce together? It seems to work pretty well.
You can mess around and make your own mayo. It's pretty easy. But I think once you've added, like, I like to add a lot of stuff to my cocktail sauce. So I like to add, like, a lot of boost to it as well. So pretty standard. Just get some good mayonnaise, ketchup, lemon juice, Tabasco, Worcestershire. by the time you've added all that, it probably doesn't matter if you've made your own mayonnaise because you're not really tasting the difference.
Mm.
And then I like to add brandy into mine as well, make it a real boozy cocktail sauce. You can even add some, you could add cognac. You can even add gin and vodka. The flavour doesn't come across like alcoholic as it might sound, but the flavour comes through and really helps to kind of punch up that sauce, all that spice as well. So I like to make a cocktail sauce that may get you low-level drunk.
Love it. Love it. And we've got to do that on Christmas as well. All right, we're going to finish it off with the Christmas classic, felt around the world, the Christmas pudding.
Mm.
I've never cooked one before, and it seems like a bit of a process. What are the tips on cooking the pudding if people want to have a crack this year?
Yeah, look, if you're planning to make Christmas pudding by this Christmas, don't, because you've run out of time. If you're going to make it for next Christmas, though, go for it, because they will last like 2 years. Sealed in the fridge, like they have some staying power. So you got to work ahead. Like it needs like a really something you make in like we used to make in November back in my family's house. But yeah, tips for making it: start early. You want to try and steam it for as long as you can. So it's a big old mess of booze of fruits of nuts, and you want to steam it for a long time to get all those flavors coming together. Then you want to age it for a long time as well to let them all settle down. Even out, and you end up with something quite special. So I think some of the store-bought ones are quite good if you left it last minute. But yeah, start making it for 2021.
What are you serving your pudding with? Custard or cream or ice cream or what?
I like ice cream with anything. But I think really cream's probably the best. You've got quite a rich pudding anyway. Adding more custard to that is pretty kind of turbocharging your dessert. So just good fresh cream for me is the way forward. You can make some of your brandy butter and chuck that on, set light to it. Ooh. If you want to go fully traditional.
Well, mate, my mouth is watering now, looking forward to what's going to be on the table at Christmas. Simon, thanks so much for jumping on with me onto SER and talking about these classic Christmas dishes and how to cook them.
Welcome, mate.